And every time after that, when I beat one of your superheroes, and I don't care if it was John Cena, Ryback, Chris Jericho, Kane, Big Show, Dolph Ziggler, any of the litany of superstars that I've defeated, I wasn't just beating them, I was beating all of you. And for 414 days, that's exactly what I've done. In your face, jerks, I have beaten you. I have stomped you out under my oppressive boot. And I'm gonna do the same thing to The Rock, because I don't care if he's back. You all do not get to win. You are losers. You do not get to win. You do not.
You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live.
Sit there on your ranch with your wife and your kids.
Lesnar's got Cena!
Your source for news.
Marry me, AJ!
Views and opinions on everything wrestling.
This is not a popularity contest. This is not ballet.
I'm not a CM Punk guy.
From the big leagues to the local scene.
This never would have happened when Michael Sweetser was running things. Where is Michael Sweetser?
Now.
Ryback is feasting. Jericho, he's got to come out.
But I do have something for Stephanie.
I am going to walk in to Hell in a Cell to fight.
You're listening to the 2012 Year-End Awards.
It's Slobber Knocker good.
Oh, man. A throat kick by Sheamus. A hook of the leg.
Here's James McDonald.
A brand that is good for business, Sean.
And Corey Callahan.
On top, swimming with sharks while you're dancing with stars.
Best part of that intro there, James? All clips from 2012.
Beautiful.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Smack Talk Radio Live, the best in wrestling talk radio.
That's right.
It's January 11, 2013. I'm Corey Callahan, sitting next to James McDonald.
Hey.
The road to the Royal Rumble and possibly WrestleMania has started, and we're kicking it off tonight here on Smack Talk Radio Live. James, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing awesome, as always. Stoked to be here in the Smack Talk studios in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia, to break down all the latest news, views, and opinions in the world of professional wrestling right here with you, buddy.
It's been a while since we've been on the air. We've missed a lot, but we're going to jump right back into it. Hey, it was Christmas holidays. What do we say, right?
No excuses, man.
Hey, we're not making any money off this show. I'll take as many goddamn days off as I want. New Year's resolutions. Let's get to that. James, what is your New Year's resolution?
To pump out a show every week.
Oh, that's not bad. Mine is to rant more than I already do.
Wow.
To become a bigger heel than I already am.
That's it. I quit. I'm leaving right now. Okay, bye. See you
I later. Am kicking it up a notch. In the words of Emeril Lagasse, bam. You
classic.
Love that quote. You
classic,
love that.
My friend. Classic.
Now, to find this show we call Smack Talk Radio Live, you got to head to www.smacktalkradiolive.com. And if you haven't already, like the page at facebook.com/smacktalkradio. Subscribe to us in the iTunes store. Or hey, send a friend to @SRL Radio. Tons to talk about here in the new year. I don't know if I want to go back and talk about Christmas. How good was wrestling over the Christmas holidays?
You mean you didn't enjoy the whole Santa Claus debacle with Alberto Del Rio, who they're trying to push as a top babyface?
Ugh. Do I go
That's all
there?
We need to hear. It's just,
no, I got
there's
lots
Corey,
to say.
There's Callahan's opinion right there.
All
right,
before I give my opinion on the last couple weeks of wrestling, or last month, I should say, I want to talk about something good. And that is the official announcement. Smack Talk Radio Live is going to WrestleMania 29 in New York. And like I have mentioned before, it's different now. Because not only am I just going to WrestleMania 29 in New York, New Jersey, but so are you.
Finally!
I convinced
James
him.
James is going to WrestleMania 29.
I convinced him. He's bucking up.
It's there. We're going.
Flight's
it's going to be there.
Flight's booked. Tickets bought. Lots to. It's going to be a huge. Think of WrestleMania 28 when we broadcast live there in Miami. It's only going to be that much better, James.
And that much bigger this year because we got a few surprises up store in our sleeves.
Whoa. If you could say it properly.
If I could say it properly, you're right. That's it. I quit. I'm out of here.
That's it. I'm done.
Goodbye. Alrighty. So, yeah, Christmas holidays.
Did you have a good Christmas? Did you have a good Christmas?
This is a good time to end the song because, yeah, let's get serious for a second here. Christmas holidays, Monday Night Raw, SmackDowns. First of all, James, let's just talk about, like, what do you say? What do you say about what you witnessed at the end of December with the WWE?
It was pretty bad. I mean, the New Year's episode was a little bit better, but not by much. But I mean, that whole Santa Claus debacle. Yes, I know some people enjoyed it and were able to, you know, check their mind at the door. But for me, no, I need something a little bit more.
Now, a lot of people were probably wondering, why are you even bringing this up? This is old news. It's in the past. It happened on Christmas Eve. But the whole Alberto Del Rio hitting Santa Claus. Listen, I got to say something here. I will forget it, but I don't want to ever see it again. What I witnessed on those two Monday Night Raws over the Christmas holidays was absolutely disgusting. It was like John Cena times 10 with the volume turned way up on cheesiness, corniness, over-the-topness. It made me want to shut off wrestling permanently. In fact, I said to you, James, part of the reason why we delayed this radio show over the holidays was because wrestling was so bad, I couldn't even get into it, and I didn't want to talk about it. It was so horrible what I watched at the end of December.
Oh, I wouldn't say it was that bad for me, but...
Oh, what are you talking about?
First of all, I will agree with you. It wasn't the most enjoyable thing to see, but I mean, I'm not
the first
gonna sit here and say I don't want to do a radio show because
But you come off TLC, which is such a great pay-per-view. You got the ball rolling, and then it's just like you put a roadblock in everything. You had the whole cast of the WWE sitting on stage singing a Christmas song together, just horrible.
Well,
and then you had Alberto Del Rio hitting Santa Claus, and it couldn't have been a worse edit. You don't even see Santa Claus really get hit, which I'm sure is because it's by design. They don't want the kids seeing Santa Claus getting run over. But just the fact that it was a taped show was obvious, and I thought it was horrible. And I'm just saying, this is all I'm going to say about it, really. And the point I need to make here is I don't want to ever see that again. If I do, I'm putting this whole thing in question because that was disgusting. That was all I'm going to say. But we got a lot to talk about in terms of 2012, not just December.
Let's
right?
try to get some positivity out of you tonight instead of...
Was that not positive?
Yes, that was just shining positivity.
Well, I'm telling you, my New Year's resolution is off to a good start. Now, big show here tonight because we are doing the 2012 SRL Radio Year-End Awards.
Finally.
So good, you had to wait to 2013 to see it. That's been the slogan we've branded for this awards show. And we also were going to talk Tale of the Tape. We're going to talk The Rock's return, his face-to-face with CM Punk. That's going to come up in our Tale of the Tape. And this segment, James, the one we do each and every week, big week in terms of news. Let's kick it off, the Post-to-Post Report.
Catching you up with the business of the business. It's time for the Post-to-Post Report.
All right, let's jump right back into it here. The Post-to-Post Report. And we're starting this week with the news headline coming from the New York Post this morning that Mick Foley will be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame this April. The WWE did confirm this later today. And the event, which does take place Saturday, April 6th, the night before WrestleMania 29 at Madison Square Garden, it is where the WWE celebrates the accomplishments from legends of the past. And Mick Foley, he's going to be the first one announced. Foley is a former three-time WWE champion, hardcore champion, and eight-time tag team champion, and his most memorable moment as a superstar would be, of course, getting tossed from the top of the Hell in a Cell from The Undertaker and King of the Ring in 1998. While the induction has not been officially announced yet on Monday Night Raw, the WWE typically does leak the name of someone days before tickets go on sale for the event, which, in case you're wondering, go on sale Saturday morning, that's tomorrow, at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 o'clock Pacific.
How do you feel about Foley being inducted into the Hall of Fame? You think he's a deserving candidate?
I definitely think so. He's done a ton for the industry. Yes, he is not the best-looking superstar that we've ever seen in the WWE, but that moment, being thrown off Hell in a Cell by The Undertaker, that is, if not, it's got to be the best clip that they air on WWE programming these days. There's very few that are much better looking than
that. That one spot has probably single-handedly guaranteed him this spot into the Hall of Fame. And for me, myself, my biggest memory of Mick Foley would have to be the December 1998 pay-per-view. I believe it was 98. It was the In Your House. Rock Bottom was actually here in Vancouver at General Motors Place. He took on The Rock for the title and won the title, actually, in the main event. So
it'll be very interesting to see, because The Rock's back. We got Mick Foley in the mix. Will we see the Rock and Sock connection between now and WrestleMania?
I think so. I think we'll see some sort of interaction between them before the big show.
But, you know, the other thing that begs the question here is, can you get into the Hall of Fame for just one great moment? Is that possible?
Oh, apparently so.
I mean, he's done a lot more.
Well, yes, but...
But I guess that's Drew Carrier.
Exactly. Or Pete Rose or whatever, you know?
Exactly. All right.
Okay, even after CM Punk mentioned him by name in the main event promo the other night on Raw, bad luck is on the side of WWE superstar Tyson Kidd. It is being reported that during the holiday house show tour, Kidd suffered an injury and has a torn MCL in his right knee. After looking at it medically, it's being said that Kidd could be out of action, get this, Corey, anywhere from 8 to 12 months.
Just bad news for Tyson Kidd. And, you know, everyone respects him, both behind the scenes and in the stadiums. People want to see Tyson Kidd do well. This is just terrible, terrible news for him.
But on the flip side, this could be the best thing that ever happened to him, because maybe he comes back with a fresh new gimmick, fresh character, and he just, you know, takes off to the moon from there.
Maybe down the road he comes back and wins the Royal Rumble like John Cena did when he was injured.
There you go.
Wouldn't that be something?
Maybe he wins the 2014 Royal Rumble.
There you go. Some interesting analysis regarding CM Punk's promo in the middle of the ring before The Rock came out on Monday night. Remember that where CM Punk came out and just ranted for a good 10 to 15 minutes?
Who could forget that? Come on now.
Well, someone wishes he could forget it, and that would be WWE Hall of Famer superstar Billy Graham, who was quite upset with the way Punk handled himself on Monday. On Facebook, Graham wrote that he was quite upset with how CM Punk spoke about the longest reigning champion of all time, Bruno Sammartino, and Graham said, quote, "Tonight on Raw, for the last 45 minutes of the show, all they did was have CM Punk talk and talk and talk and more talk. The killer line came when Vince and writers had Punk putting over his 314 days straight as world champ, and then said you had people like Bruno Sammartino only wrestling in Madison Square Garden once a month." Graham followed that by saying it was the biggest put-down of Bruno ever, and he asked the question why the WWE would have Punk say that when they've been begging Bruno to go into the Hall of Fame for years. Billy Graham ended the rant by saying he lost all respect for CM Punk and the writers of the WWE.
Well, first of all, I have to correct you there. It's 414 days.
I know. I don't know. That's what he put, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's his. Okay, so then I have to correct superstar Billy Graham there. But, I mean, come on. Like, could you be any more markish, like... Why would you buy into something like that if you're a guy like superstar Billy Graham? You know, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me, right?
No, I totally agree. What's even more funny is the way Chris Jericho replied to superstar Billy Graham, because Jericho responded on Twitter by saying, "Dear superstar Billy Graham, shut the hell up and stop being such a mark."
Exactly.
Your pal Chris Jericho.
Well, there you go. At least someone had the gall to say it to him.
Paul Heyman had a good response on Twitter as well. He said, "I think Punk should defend the title on Hall of Fame night at MSG against superstar Billy Graham. Hey, Vince, be the flesh-peddling promoter we know you are and book it."
How can you... Paul Heyman, enough said. You know?
Fair enough.
All right, moving on. Some late-breaking news today as the WWE has released Trent Beretta. Now, wasting no time, Beretta has already been booked for a WrestleMania weekend show with the Pro Wrestling Syndicate promotion, or PWS, and is scheduled to face Sanjay Dutt. Now, Beretta, who returned from injury late last year at NXT, made a cameo in Friday's final edition of Zack Ryder's YouTube show, which, by the way, if you hadn't heard, it's officially ending today. Z True Long Island Story.
I've always hated that name.
It's hard to say. Aired its 100th and final episode today with cameos from a number of other superstars. So
Trent Beretta getting released. Is that a surprise to you, James?
Not really. They didn't really have anything for this guy, and he wasn't going anywhere. So, you know what? Maybe it's the best thing for him to be future endeavored and try his luck elsewhere.
And the last thing you do with the WWE ends up being... on the last episode of Zack Ryder's YouTube show.
Yeah, you know, and that's another thing that's Could this maybe be the start of Zack Ryder's end with the WWE now that his YouTube show is coming to a conclusion like it is?
I think 100 episodes is a good number to finish, Sean. I mean,
that's true.
And Joey Styles put it best this morning on Twitter. He said, Zack Ryder, he is what paved the way for the WWE getting into social media. And it's so true.
Yeah.
This show really put the WWE on the map in regards to the internet. They made money off it. So very successful all around. Am I surprised that it's ending? A little, but I feel like 100 episodes, that's enough.
That's a good number to end on, sure.
Switching gears here, TNA Wrestling, they announced this week that they will be changing their pay-per-view programming and initiating a new change to the current broadcast model. Their 52 weeks of programming on Impact Wrestling, you know, every month or every Thursday, I should say, with Thursday Impact. Well, it's now they're all going to lead to 4 live pay-per-views, with those keeping the names Genesis, Lockdown, Slammiversary, and Bound for Glory. So there's going to be 4 big pay-per-views a year. And in addition to these 4 pay-per-views, TNA will also now present 7 Friday night taped pay-per-view specials, branding them as TNA Wrestling One Night Only.
Interesting.
Almost like when the WWE used to have In Your House.
Yes, that's just what I was going to mention.
These will take place on the first Friday of each month. And in addition, TNA is changing the cost of their pay-per-view structure, with Genesis and Lockdown costing $34.95, Slammiversary costing $39.95, and Bound for Glory costing $44.95.
So that's like their WrestleMania.
The new TNA Friday night pay-per-views, they'll only cost $14.95. There's a little bit of an issue I have with these Friday night pay-per-views that they're doing.
What?
They're not live. They're taping them.
Well, I don't know. Is there a way around that, really, with their schedule that they have? Really, all I see this is just a way for TNA to cut their overhead costs.
Of course, but are people going to order a pay-per-view? Are they going to pay $14.95 for a Friday night pay-per-view that's not even live?
That's a good question.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah, it's maybe not.
Well, we'll find out down the road. In terms of financials, the WWE stock, it did close at $8.03 a share today. Interesting news, it did dip below $8, which is interesting for me because I'm getting set to buy some of these WWE stocks.
I'm telling you, once it hits $6, that's where I'm in.
I got money in the portfolio waiting to go. I just need to pull the trigger. Now, in terms of television ratings this week, WWE Monday Night Raw, and this is great news. On January 7th, it scored a 3.14 rating, a huge boost.
Holy smokes, is that ever.
Actually up 40% from the holiday shows that ended 2012. It was the highest rating in 19 weeks, dating all the way back to August 27th. The big story, though, was the third hour, which ended up being the highest-watched third hour of Raw since July 30th, the week after the Raw 1000 and the first of 3-hour Raws. Average viewerships were 4.29 million in the first hour, 4.32 in the second, and 4.65 million in the third. Raw did rank number 2 behind the BCS college football game, which was the second biggest cable TV audience of all time.
All time?
So it had some tough competition. But because of the strategic timing of the Punk and Ryback match and the blowout that culminated in the football game, Raw did very well considerably. Plus the return of The Rock. Doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, it did. You know, it really helped having The Rock come out in that third hour, which is why I personally believe that the numbers were so good. Mm-hmm. And good for WWE finally getting that number up in the final hour after months and months of losing
viewers.
Just
1 week, though. You know, it is just 1 week. Now you got to follow this up with another strong week, and you got to retain this number because you don't want to go to the numbers that they were hitting at the end of the year last year.
No,
it was
definitely
not good.
Well, they got the big 20th anniversary show coming up this Monday, so I have a feeling there are going to be some good numbers again.
Which, I got to say, I think they've done a poor job of promoting. It's an interesting
really?
Way to promote a Raw.
There.
Well, they haven't really talked about it that much.
Sure they have. They've promoted it all over their website. They were talking about it all on Monday Night Raw.
I didn't see much talk of it on Monday Night Raw.
Really?
No.
Oh, well, we must have been watching different Raws then.
Or maybe it was the fast forwarding. I can't remember.
it's the PBR.
All right. Now, James, that was the post-to-post report. Hope you're all caught up on the business of the business.
I'm in the know now.
I hope so. You're one of those guys that like reads it, and then it's like it's in one ear and out the other as soon as you read it, right?
No way. It all soaks in like a sponge, my friend.
Yeah, right. All right, let's get to the moment everyone's been waiting for. The part of the show that is really just so good, you had to wait till 2013 to hear it. The 2012 Year-End Awards. Let's kick it off right now.
Celebrating the best of and the worst of in pro wrestling.
the 2012 Year-End Awards.
Will that go down as the 2012 most shocking moment of the year? Or maybe the 2012 Marco moment of the year? This is the 2012 SRL Radio Year-End Awards. A bit of a feature James and I have been working on for the last little while. We did this back in 2011, where we're going to celebrate the best of and worst of in professional wrestling.
Yeah, it's quite a neat little idea. And I mean, having a radio show the way that we do, you got to have a best of and worst of at the end of the year. So what we did is we gathered a panel of people that we've had on the show previously, gave them all questions like, you know, what was your best match, what was your worst moment, etc., and we tabulated the results, and whatever got the most votes, well, that's our winner.
And we did have a panel of 10 that we invited to be part of the SRL Radio Year-End Awards. Now, this panel, the concept is we wanted to make it hard to argue with our decisions. A lot of podcasts, a lot of radio shows out there, you know, they just have the hosts tell it what they give the awards to whoever they want, and we wanted to make it tough to argue with these people. So we decided to invite former guests from the show. Like you had said, we have 10 guys. We had Vance Nevada, Bishop from ECCW, Marty Sugar from Big West Wrestling, Arta O'Cal from the Score Network, Brian Socha from BeneathTheMat.com. He's out there in Philadelphia. We also had Casey Spinelli, the ladies wrestler in ECCW.
Yeah.
Supergirls champion, I believe. Or they don't call it the Supergirls championship anymore, do they? They call it the...
I think they just call it the women's championship.
Yes, that's
the women's
right.
Championship now.
Corey Basso, he's our local insider. We had Mike Knox from BDSIR Network, Perfect Plex Radio. And then rounding out the 10 is the last two, you and I.
James there you McDonald, go. So we have Callahan. A nice mix of people who actually work in the industry and then some non-wrestling personalities. So
how do you want to start this, James? Should we do the best of or the worst of to kick it off?
Well, I think it's always fun to start out with the best of, and then we can rag on what the worst of was at the end.
All right, so we got numerous categories for best of, and I think the best way to do this is to announce the category. We'll announce the actual winner. Then we'll announce the honorable mention, because a lot of people did vote for different things. And then we'll give what you and I would have presented.
And maybe a quote from some of the guys that were on our panel.
Sounds about right.
All right.
So we are gonna talk about our own opinions a little, like other podcasts.
Well, we got it. I mean,
but we're going to give the official award is whoever garnered the most votes between the panel of 10.
Exactly. That's how it goes.
All right. Kick it off, James.
All right. Well, we're going to start it off with the best pay-per-view of 2012. And our winner is TLC, which just happened last month in December. Now, some honorable mentions for this category go to WrestleMania 28, which I personally voted for, and Money in the Bank.
That's not bad. Now, TLC, that involved the Shield.
That was the, that had the Shield versus Team Hell No and Ryback, because CM Punk had injured his knee, so he wasn't able to participate in that TLC match. It had the chairs match between Sheamus and Big Show, where Big Show pulled out the huge oversized chair, which I thought was really cool.
Now, what about your honorable mention? You had said WrestleMania 28.
I had said WrestleMania
Why would you
20.
Have given it Wrestle 28? To WrestleMania 28. Sorry.
Well, because I'm kind of biased. I was there in person, so that's all I can say.
No, the truth of the matter is I would have given it to WrestleMania 28 as well. I personally don't understand how you can argue against that, only because this is WrestleMania. No matter how good of a show the other ones are throughout the year, they don't have 70,000 people packed into a stadium. And that alone brings an environment that is hard to argue with. It was something like, and maybe it is one of those things where you just have to be there, but I really believe WrestleMania 28 delivered. I remember watching WrestleMania 27 last year, and I thought the pay-per-view was terrible.
It was terrible.
So I'm not jaded in a sense that it's just because it's WrestleMania, it's the best show no matter what. I just really feel like it really delivered this year.
Oh, it did. It had your big main event match that had the big match feel. And, I guess our panel just wasn't happy with some of the booking decisions at WrestleMania 28, maybe. I don't know.
Corey Basso was one that gave it to WWE's TLC, the official winner of the best pay-per-view of 2012. And his quote was, "It was good booking, good Brooklyn crowd, good in-ring action, plus the Brooklyn Brawler appeared." Wow, that's hard to say. What else can you ask for? Corey Basso.
I don't agree with the panel's decision. I thought TLC was definitely one of the better pay-per-views this year. Probably the other good ones that come I don't know, streaking to mind would be Extreme Rules was another good one.
Mm-hmm. That was with Brock Lesnar and John Cena.
Yeah, I thought Money in the Bank was a good one with Dolph Ziggler winning the title. That was a fantastic match.
All right, so. Fair enough. Let's move on to the best match of 2012. Now, maybe James, I want to switch it up here. Maybe before we unveil the official winner, let's give our thoughts on who we think should win.
Well, I honestly think that it should be the end of an era, Triple H versus Undertaker, WrestleMania 28. That just, when I think of match of the year, there's nothing else that sticks out in my mind because that one just had it all. It was unbelievable.
Best match of 2012 for me, it's got to be John Cena versus The Rock. I definitely appreciate Undertaker versus Triple H, but there's a difference between these two matches. And you think I'm crazy for saying this, James, but when it comes to The Undertaker and Triple H, there was a degree of everyone knew who was going to win this match. And I know that sounds ridiculous in a sense that, you know, for a while people thought Triple H actually could pull it off.
But that's the thing. That's why it was match in the year. Because going into this match, yes, the outcome is super predictable. You all know that The Undertaker is going to win. But as the match was happening, you had that seed of doubt planted in your mind.
Maybe if Triple H had actually won the match, that shock value at the end to me would have made it match of the year. But the difference between that match and, for example, Rock and Cena at WrestleMania 28, which is the match I'm voting for as match of the year, we had no idea who was going to win that match. It was like this cloud of controversy as to who should win this main event of WrestleMania. I remember we sat there with our panel of 5 or 6 guys there in South Beach the night before WrestleMania, and I think all 6 of us had a different finish for this match. With Triple H and Undertaker, it was like heading into WrestleMania, everyone was like, Triple H is going to lose to Taker for sure. Well, I was hoping that he didn't. I remember I said differently.
Okay, I understand. So you're basing your pick based on the predictability of the outcome
and the finish itself. The shock value of Rock and Cena was unbelievable.
I'm just saying you're basing your choice on the predictability or the outcome of the match, and I don't know, I'm kind of doing my choice based on the actual match itself. I thought Triple H and Undertaker went out there, and I mean, don't get me wrong, Rock and Cena had a great match, but just it, you know, couldn't touch Triple H Undertaker.
Well, in the end, the panel of 10 decided that it was Triple H versus Undertaker that takes the best match of 2012.
There was quite a lot of votes for that one, actually.
Honorable mentions did go to Kevin Steen versus Michael Elgin and John Cena versus The Rock, like we had mentioned. Now, a quote from Art O'Cal from the Score Network. He, when asked about End of an Era, Triple H versus The Undertaker, he said it reminded him of WrestleMania 3. Everyone tuned in for Hogan versus Andre, but everyone left talking about Savage versus Steamboat. Well, everyone tuned in for The Rock and Cena, but they left talking about Taker and Triple H. It was a masterclass of storytelling and had quite possibly the best near fall in the history of pro wrestling. The crowd made Rock and Cena, but Triple H and Taker made the crowd.
That's a good quote that that Arda gave us there, because it's true. Because for being there live like we were, Taker and Triple H, they really did. After that match, the crowd was really energized, and it was just the show really rolled after that.
You're right. I agree, but I don't know, maybe it was just because I was absolutely astounded at the end of The Rock and Cena. Just, they actually went that direction. To me, that made it. That's a hard moment for me to beat in my life in terms of shock value, surprise, just delivery of the whole thing. It just worked for me. So I understand both, and I think really you could give it to either or.
Okay.
How about the biggest news headline of 2012, James? This would be, you know, what is it that, of all the post-to-post reports that we do, of all the newsworthy items, what is the best news item of the year? Not the best, but just the biggest.
Overwhelmingly.
Most impactful, perhaps?
Overwhelmingly, it was Jerry Lawler's heart attack on live TV. I mean, come on. You're not going to get a bigger news story than that in a year.
Right.
I mean, the guy almost dies on live television. It's just, it's
tough to beat.
And the reality of the whole thing, it was just scary because it really put back into focus, you know, that this is serious, right? Yeah. Like, this guy could die here.
You're telling me that is more impactful than Hulk Hogan releasing a sex tape on the market?
That was a close second. That was a close second.
When asked about Jerry Lawler's heart attack on live TV, Casey Spinelli, who did vote for this winner in the category, she wrote, "The man almost died on TV." And really, that's all you have
to say. That's all you have to say. Yeah. So,
how about the most shocking moment of 2012? This doesn't necessarily pertain to news. It could be something storyline related. What shocked you the most about 2012?
What shocked me the most about 2012? Oh, geez. Well, for me, I think it had to be CM Punk's heel turn on the 1,000th episode of Raw. Mm-hmm. That really had me dropping my jaw. And that's good. I like to see things like that that just kind of throw me for a swerve, and it's kind of like a curveball, you know? Mm-hmm. So
I went with what I mentioned before, The Rock pinning John Cena cleanly in the main event of WrestleMania 28. When that happened, no one thought that was
really
happening.
You were 100% sold that Cena was going to win that match, eh?
Who wasn't?
I wasn't. Oh. I was up in the air. I was 50-50. That's why the match was as huge as it was.
You didn't think it was going to end like that, though.
What, a clean pin like
yeah,
that?
No oh, one did.
Oh, a clean pin? Sure, a lot of people thought. Come on, man.
I didn't think so. That was, to me, my most shocking moment. But the winner, eventually, and I can't, again, it can be news-related or storyline-related, but it was Jerry Lawler's heart attack on live TV that took most shocking moment of 2012. The honorable mentions would have been Daniel Bryan's loss at WrestleMania to Sheamus in under 18 seconds.
That was huge.
And also Vince McMahon at Linda's concession speech when she lost the election there.
Yeah, that was some true emotion shown from Vince McMahon, which is a very rare thing for the chairman there.
When we asked Arda Ocal about the most shocking moment of 2012, he said, I think this category is supposed to be a worked shocking moment, but to me, who was there live and saw him collapse out of his chair, he can't shake that image.
Yeah, being there, man, that must be pretty brutal, being there live to see that happen. Mm-hmm. He was there live, eh?
Yeah, I guess so, in Montreal, yeah. I actually work with a guy who was also there live.
Oh, really?
He does audio for it, and he's told me all the behind-the-scenes stories about the Jerry Lawler, and it's crazy what he's told me.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, man.
Well, fill us
stuff
in.
Stuff I can't say on the radio show because I'm throwing him under the bus.
But. Okay.
How about the markout moment of 2012? Now, this category is where you really felt like as true of a wrestling fan as you can get. You know, not necessarily the best moment of 2012, but what's that one moment where you got out of your chair and for a second you were like a 12-year-old kid loving WWE all over again?
Well, first of all, before we get to the results and everything here, I just got to say, out of all the categories that we had, this was probably the least voted on category from our panel. I think maybe we only had 3 people actually get back to us with a markout moment.
I wonder why.
I don't know. Maybe they don't want to be seen as quote-unquote marks. I have no idea.
That's not a bad point.
You know?
Well, it's just the name of a category.
I mean, exactly, but...
All right, so what would you give that moment to?
Oh, geez. For me, the markout moment would have to be Brock Lesnar on the Raw after WrestleMania. That just like... I mean, you were there. You saw me. I was jumping up and down, screaming my face off. I was just...
In fact, I thought you almost lost your voice.
You're right. Yeah. I had no voice the next day after that. It was just crazy.
I wasn't a fan of that. It's because I'm not a fan of Brock Lesnar in the WWE anyways. But for me, for most shocking moment, I went... I went with HBK, Sweet Chinny Music, The Undertaker, into the pedigree. Triple H hits him with it, goes for the pin. 1-2.
So the huge near fall at
everyone thought it was over there.
80,000 people thought that Taker's streak was over.
That's got to be my markout moment of the year, aside from, of course, when Rock pinned Cena. But
enough of Rock pinning Cena, okay?
No, but that's got to be, for me, most markout moment of the year. But the winner of the category, officially, Brock Lesnar returning to Raw. So you...
Me and 2 other votes.
That's right.
So...
Honorable mention, though, would have to go to Ric Flair at the Slammy Awards here in late December.
That was a cool moment. Mm-hmm. I have to admit, I did kind of mark out for that one, too. Because I've always been... You know me. I've always been a Ric Flair fan. Mm-hmm. So seeing him come back and get in the ring and slap on that figure 4 to Paul Heyman, that was some cool stuff.
Now, how about the most improved wrestler of 2012? So this is an interesting category.
This is an interesting category.
And I'll say this. The winner of this is even more interesting. Now, we should mention that most of these awards, when we sent them out to the panel, we did say they can be WWE, they can be TNA, they can be Ring of Honor, they can be anyone, right? Mm-hmm. But I also made everyone aware that mostly we talk about WWE on this show. So keep that in mind when giving your answers. But in the end, it wasn't actually a WWE superstar who won the most improved wrestler of 2012.
No, it wasn't. This is, I think, one of the few categories, where there's a non-WWE winner here. So
the official winner is Michael Elgin of Ring of Honor.
Congratulations, Michael Elgin.
Very interesting. I didn't vote for him. You didn't vote for him.
I didn't vote for
him.
But
our panel did end up voting for him, and he was the winner. Big year for Michael Elgin in Ring of Honor. But let me ask you this, James. If you were to keep it WWE-related, who would be your most improved wrestler of 2012?
My personal pick would probably be Antonio Cesaro.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, the guy's, I mean, from the beginning of the year to where he is now, it's just been, you know, like night and day. He's got the United States champion. He's, you know, what am I, I can't, I'm blah. I'm at a loss for words.
Okay. No, that's fine. I mean, he has had an impressive year. I mean, he is the United States champion, and he's taken the ball and he's ran with it. And he's had quite the quick rise compared to other new superstars.
And what I was trying to say there is I honestly think this guy is going to be one of the top names in the company in the next few years here. You watch.
Just the fact that he can speak different languages, you know, Vince loves. You know,
and he's got the look that Vince loves. He's got the strength. I mean, look what he just did to Kali on Monday Night Raw. Impressive visual, right?
If I was going to go with the 2012 Most Improved Wrestler of the Year, I'm going with the Big Show.
That's a good choice. This has been one of the most impressive years the Big Show's ever had.
For a guy who has had a length of career as long as the Big Show has, to still stay relevant in today's wrestling
since 1996.
It's hard to do.
It's very hard.
And Big Show was kind of getting repetitive, stale. When he was a face, it wasn't really working.
He needed to be a heel is what he needed to be. And he needed to be that big monster heel.
And he completely turned himself around.
Absolutely.
And I have thought that the Big Show has delivered some of his best work in years.
The Big Show this year reminded me of Mark Henry last year.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And for that, I'm giving him the most improved. But that's not the official winner, Michael Elgin from Ring of Honor. What else we got here? We got...
Well, let's go to the big category.
Yes, the big one.
Wrestler of the Year for 2012.
Is there any debate of who this is?
There's absolutely no debate. And our panel was almost unanimous on this one. I think there was one person who chose different than our eventual winner here.
The winner is... Does that work?
We should have made a clip, but that'll work.
CM Punk, he takes it.
How could you not choose CM Punk? I mean, the guy has had probably one of the best years you could ever hope for being a wrestler in this industry. Mm-hmm. Like, a full calendar year being the champion. He's defended it in a number of matches, numerous triple threat matches, Hell in a Cell, tables, ladders, and chairs. Like, just, what else, you know, what else can you say?
I can't believe the slammy went to John Cena.
Oh, that was so bad.
Like, what are you doing? This is so obvious. It's CM Punk.
It's like they didn't want to give it to him because he won it the year previous.
No, they gave it to him because they wanted CM Punk to interrupt him and do a whole heel moment, they gave
the slammy to CM Punk in 2011.
Yes, maybe. You're probably right. Honorable mention, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And I guess John Cena. Did anyone actually vote for John Cena here?
One person voted for John Cena. One person voted for Daniel Bryan. Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, no, one voted for Cena, one voted for Bryan, and the rest were for CM Punk. I voted for CM Punk, definitely.
Yeah. Now, when we asked Brian Socia from BeneathTheMat.com about the Wrestler of the Year, he wrote, "You have to go with Punk. He's been WWE champion for the entire year while producing quality matches on each pay-per-view, and he was able to keep himself fresh by turning heel while being champion." Got a good point. Mike Knox from Perfect Plex Radio, he said CM Punk, 400-plus days as champion.
Enough said. Yeah. There you go. There you go. Short, sweet, to the point.
And our local insider, Corey Basso, wrote, "Still enjoying a lengthy title reign, and he looks destined to have an even better 2013. He seemed to enjoy decent merchandise sales as well. Punk managed to convincingly balance both babyface and heel roles during the span of the year while feuding with all of the top talent outside of Brock Lesnar and The Rock."
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't give it to anybody else.
Basso brings up a good question, and I wanted to ask you about this.
Sure.
In today's, let's say in the last year of 2012, who has made more money for the company? John Cena or CM Punk?
Oh, John Cena. Absolutely.
Yeah? Without question?
Absolutely. Without question, John Cena.
Do you see that changing in 2013?
Not really, no.
Really?
No.
Hmm.
No, man. Cena is the biggest cash cow for the WWE by far.
Okay. Fair enough.
I mean, CM Punk comes in second, but it's a far second.
I'm just wondering if you're actually wrong. Like, I'd like to maybe see if that... I would be very surprised if you were wrong.
Honestly, yes. I'd be very... I could be wrong. I'm not going to come out here and say I'm absolutely right, but...
But maybe it's interesting to see here as CM Punk starts feuding with The Rock, you know, gets a bigger role at this year's WrestleMania. Who knows? It's an interesting scenario. But yeah, CM Punk takes it.
Yep.
So there you go. The best of 2012.
Now, shall we move on to the worst of, our favorite kind of stuff that we like to talk about here on Smack Talk Radio Live?
Yes, but let me just say this about 2012. We just gave out the best of moments, and I will say this. The best of moments of 2012 really were best of moments. They delivered. I do think Rock and Cena puts that whole year up on a pedestal in a sense. I do think Triple H versus The Undertaker delivered. I thought CM Punk winning Superstar of the Year, he won it convincingly. So
absolutely.
So the best of moments are really something that should definitely be praised. And as much as I talk bad about wrestling, these are moments that even I can turn around and be like, wow.
Those were great.
Exactly.
This is why I'm a wrestling fan.
Right? So exactly. That's worth saying here. The best of really was the best of. And those are moments that we're going to remember for years to come. So I will give him that for sure. But let's get to the worst of moments in 2012.
This is your favorite section.
Wow.
Wow. Nothing. It is.
This is where I got to keep my mouth shut as much as possible. All right. Let's start with the worst storyline feud of 2012.
This one was almost unanimous as well. Mm-hmm. Our winner this year, Embrace the Hate, which happened almost a full 365 days ago from now. But yeah, that was just such a bad storyline that lasted for almost 2.5 months. I mean, and it completely killed one guy in the process. Like,
so Kane, Zack Ryder, John Cena.
And Eve Torres.
Just
garbage from start to finish, man.
Was that who you voted for?
That was definitely who
that's
I voted
who
for.
That's who I voted for as well, yeah.
Just garbage from start to finish. Yeah, I mean, you had that one moment that sticks out in my mind. I know probably sticks out in your mind, too, is Zack Ryder taking that choke slam off the loading dock onto pallets, and he bounced.
The one thing that just really bothered me about this feud is we were heading into January, early in the year, and we had The Rock waiting in the wings. Everyone knew him versus John Cena was going to heat up.
Mm-hmm.
The problem was no one knew when. Right? Remember, no one really knew when The Rock was going to come back and start this program.
Well, they had this kind of 2-month period between the Royal Rumble and the build up to WrestleMania where The Rock's schedule made him unavailable. So.
But they needed something. And I just remember everyone was just like, when is he coming back to start this off? Because they were leaving it quite late.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like quite possibly the worst decision they could have come up with for John Cena before you go into one of the best programs in years. Like, You have the worst before you get to the best. And I don't know if they did that by design, but if so, it's like, why would you? It didn't work for me. It killed all John Cena momentum for me. Like, I hated John Cena during this.
I wouldn't say it killed John Cena's momentum. It definitely killed Zack Ryder's, though. I mean,
it killed everything to me.
Here you had a guy who had an amazing 2011, was the United States champion, then he gets involved with these guys, and the creative team just made him look like a chump week after week, getting beat up by Kane constantly, Eve Torres making him look like a fool, and really, that was the whole purpose out of that whole storyline, was to turn Eve Torres heel. That was the only thing that came out of it. So definitely for me, worst storyline of the year.
Honorable mentions did go to Cena, AJ, and Vicky.
Oh, brutal.
And the one that people seem to forget about, and that's People Power with John Laurinaitis. That went on in 2012 as well.
Do people even remember John Laurinaitis anymore?
It's funny how that works. Now, we did invite the fans to email in their thoughts and opinions on the SRL Radio Year-End Awards, and we did have one of our greatest fans write in with all of his choices, and that's Workshoot. You can find him on Twitter at Workshoot. Chris from Coquitlam.
Shout out to Workshoot.
When he was asked about this Embrace the Hate storyline versus Zack Ryder, John Cena, and Kane, he wrote, a poor storyline that got worse every week and buried poor Zack Ryder in the process.
Which is pretty much what I just said.
Now let's move on to worst character gimmick of 2012, or character or gimmick, you should say, of 2012. James, who would you have went for this one?
Oh, I would have went for overwhelmingly Tensai.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And that is eventually the guy that has taken the award officially, Lord Tensai.
Lord Tensai, yeah. I mean, this guy had almost 80% of the panel's votes. What can you say, man? They brought him in with the worst, cheesiest gimmick. I mean, the tire tread on his face, the almost racist Japanese gimmick, right?
Yeah.
Beating up on Sakamoto. Remember Sakamoto? Does anybody remember Sakamoto anymore?
He came out at the wrong time, the night after WrestleMania, and he came out and it just was downhill from there. They
debuted him at the incorrect time. They needed a strong heel, which is why they did it, but it just didn't work. And he was doomed from day one. That being said, I don't find him that great of a wrestler. Like, I understand he's been wrestling a long time. He's been in Japan, and he's a big man, so he is limited. But I never find him to be like... Like, is he drawing money is my question.
Well, he could have been a big heel if they'd brought him back properly, yeah. Like as Albert or
he's just really out. He's like really out of shape, you know, like.
He's looked like that his whole career.
I know, and I've never been a fan of it.
How can you call that out of shape? He's probably in better shape than you.
I don't know.
I guarantee he's in better shape.
He might have
than
more
you.
Mass than me. I don't know. I'm not a fan of him. Whatever. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, when we asked Brian Socha actually about, the worst character and gimmick of 2012, he as well voted Lord Tensai, and he said, debuted him on the wrong show with the wrong gimmick, kind of like what you just said. Mm-hmm. Tensai could have worked on certain levels if he wasn't so cartoony. Now, Matt Bloom, he's a big man with experience who could have made them some quick money.
See, I disagree with that, but that's my opinion. Now, for my worst wrestler of the year, I went with Sheamus.
You went with Sheamus.
Oh, this is
really?
Not worst. Sorry, not worst wrestler of the year. Worst character gimmick of the year, right? We're still talking about the same category.
Right.
I went with Sheamus.
You went with Sheamus.
What they have done with Sheamus is borderline criminal. They have just completely, in my eyes, ruined this guy.
You just don't like the cheesy babyface comedy that the writers come out with.
I don't. Who
Which,
does?
No, it's understandable. I don't like it. I don't like it either.
But when I just look back at what, you know, Sheamus won the Royal Rumble. Before that, he was like a really credible force in the WWE. You know, he was convincing. He was threatening. He was believable. He was intimidating. And then you look at the end of the year where Sheamus is now, and he's a complete joke. He is over-the-top John Cena times two on SmackDown. Like, I just don't like Sheamus. I think what they've done with him, they've turned him from a menacing guy to a guy that could be in skits with Santino Marella.
Okay.
That's why I would give him the worst character gimmick of the year.
Well, if we had an award for best booked wrestler of 2012, I think it would have definitely went to Sheamus.
Yeah. I mean, I know most people aren't going to vote for what I voted for there, but I look at where he was and where he is now, and that's a huge drop in my opinion.
Okay.
So, how about the 2012 least improved wrestler of the year?
Least improved wrestler of the year? Well, this category, I would say, would be kind of like, when you say least improved wrestler, like, what are you really talking about here? For me, when I think of least improved wrestler, I think of someone who's basically fallen down the card, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
That's what least improved wrestler means to me. Not somebody who's technically bad or who can't wrestle or anything like that. Just somebody who's used to be in a lofty spot and is now, you know, kind of not so there. And for me, I overwhelmingly would have to go to Zack Ryder.
Hmm. The problem with what I have with what you're saying is that he's still on TV. There are some guys at the beginning of the year last year that were on TV, and they're not even on TV at all anymore. Like, wouldn't that be a farther drop for those guys?
Not really, because one guy, I mean, on one hand, he was the champion, and he had a ton of momentum behind him. His show was taking off. It was super popular. Mm. You know, the fans and the crowd. I mean, you saw all the signs and the woo-woo-woos and stuff like that, and now...
But he's still getting booked. He's still getting airtime. It may be the YouTube pre-show.
It's not on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah. Well, I would have given it to Mason Ryan, and I know that seems completely far-fetched, but I'm going with my theory. This guy was on television, and now he's not at all. We were questioning if he's even on the roster anymore. I mean, I know he is because he does the occasional house show, but this guy has literally fallen off the map in television.
Yeah, well, yeah, I agree with you there, but... For me, I voted for Zack Ryder because I don't think anybody else has fallen as far down the card as this guy has.
Well, least improved wrestler of the year officially did go to Zack Ryder.
Looks like I'm not the only one who thinks so.
Honorable mentions were Randy Orton, The Great Khali, and Crimson.
From TNA.
Yeah, now that's an interesting one, Randy Orton, but I wouldn't say he's least improved by any means. Someone did vote for him, though.
Well, again, maybe they're thinking the same way I did, guys who have fallen down the card. Because, I mean... Let's face it, 2009, 2010, Randy Orton, I mean, he was like the number two guy in the company behind John Cena. And now, you know, he's essentially an upper mid-carder. I think maybe it's because he's had these wellness policy violations. Maybe the company's just kind of a little hesitant to put steam behind Randy Orton just in case he, you know, falls off the wagon or screws up or whatever you want to call it again.
How about worst commentator of 2012?
Worst commentator of 2012. Well, I voted for Taz from TNA because I don't know. You don't watch TNA very much.
Yeah, I know. I watch it.
But Taz is just terrible. The guy does absolutely zero research. He doesn't know what he's talking about half the time. The jokes he tries to throw out there are just inane and ridiculous.
Isn't that how I operate on this show?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, that'd be like you or me going out there and commentating TNA. Yeah, good. That's a good.
Analogy. I went with Michael Cole here. I can't stand Michael Cole. I mean, I can appreciate what he does for the WWE. I understand he plays his role exactly how Vince probably wants him to play it. It doesn't work for me. So I went with Michael Cole. The honorable mention was Taz, but other than that, it was unanimously Michael Cole.
Yeah, it was Michael Cole pretty much.
How about the worst pay-per-view of 2012?
Worst pay-per-view of 2012. Jeez. Well, if you're going to say to me, what was the worst pay-per-view of 2012, James? What immediately stands out in my mind was, I can't remember the name of it, but it was this Ring of Honor pay-per-view that was on iPay-Per-View, and they had nothing but technical issues. People couldn't watch it, and Ring of Honor wouldn't refund their money.
That's right, yeah.
So
is that your official answer, though?
No, that's not my official answer. If I was going to get my answer for this, would have to be the Elimination Chamber, just because I thought it was very well. I wouldn't say poorly booked. It's just the matches were in the wrong spot, and you had that ambulance match between John Cena and Kane.
That was the main event,
and it was the main event.
Yeah.
So
I went with, and I'm alone on this one, but Money in the Bank 2012 at the U.S. Airways Center in Phoenix.
That's funny because people were voting that the best pay-per-view.
I hated that pay-per-view. And it was because as we head into that pay-per-view, it was like, well, who's going to win the Raw Money in the Bank? And it was like overwhelming. Everyone thought, well, it's going to be John Cena. And then what happened? He actually did it. And it was like a huge letdown. Any fantasy booker could have booked that pay-per-view, I thought. I did not like that. I finished watching Money in the Bank, disappointed beyond belief. I liked that Ziggler had won the SmackDown Money in the Bank, but the whole Raw one just was a huge letdown in my eyes. So for that alone, I didn't like that pay-per-view, and that's what I would have given the worst pay-per-view
of 2012. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, Elimination Chamber did take our prize. So
there you go, the official winner. Now, do you want to win these or do you not want to win these? I think these ones
you probably kind of want to stay away from if you're going for awards here.
Okay, now here's one of our best ones here. The worst moment of 2012, the final category.
The big one, worst moment of 2012. Well, my moment was the winner, so go ahead. What was your worst moment of 2012?
My 2012 worst moment would be Kane chokeslamming Zack Ryder onto the pallets in the loading dock area.
Oh, what really?
We had talked about this.
You actually voted for that? Oh, wow.
I hated that moment. To me, that was like, oh my God, this is how bad wrestling has got. It was painfully obvious that he had taken a chokeslam onto a crash mat. And like I had said to you yesterday, James, why can't Zack Ryder take a bump onto a stack of pallets? You can make really weak pallets, first of all. And second of all, like, you look at wrestling 15 years ago, that was like a standard thing. Like, taking a bump onto a pallet wouldn't have been the end of the world.
Do you really want to risk injuring your talent for a spot?
This is wrestling. There's got to be some form of physicality involved. I mean, when you saw Zack Ryder bounce up blatantly, I was like, oh my, this is terrible. Like, I thought to myself, this is as bad as wrestling can get. And I thought that was the worst moment of the year. But then I watched Christmas Eve. And I saw
Del Rio hitting Santa Claus.
That's got to be my honorable mention for worst moment of the year.
Well, shall I announce the winner for our 2012 worst moment of the year and my personal choice as well? It was Hornswoggle being named the anonymous Raw General Manager. Now, I got to tell you, Corey, if there was ever a time in my career of watching professional wrestling where I was almost on the same path as you, it would have to be this. You were there. We were. You saw me, what I was like. I was mad. I did not even want to. I wanted nothing else to do with the WWE product after that, because to me, that was just an insult to my intelligence.
Totally.
You know, I was waiting and waiting and waiting. I'm like, this has got to be big. This has got to be something huge. I mean, that was like a 2.5 year angle that they did, and just
there were a lot of bad moments,
and they swept it under the rug in one fell swoop and never going to be mentioned again.
No, I agree, and that is a convincing winner for sure. At that point, for the reason why I didn't vote for that was because at that point I was already completely disregarded from the storyline, and I didn't even care anymore who it was. So when they announced it, I was like, eh, whatever, I'm not surprised, right? Like, that's why, but I don't know. That's a good category to vote on.
But honorable mentions from our panel go to Lawler's heart attack, which, of course, is, you know,
it is one. But, yeah.
But Vince mocking Jim Ross's Bell palsy. I don't know if you remember that got one vote.
Yeah. Huh.
Now, Arta O'Cal from The Score, he gave us a, his vote was for Hornswoggle as well. And he said, well, it was Hornswoggle. You know, he's sweeping under the carpet, just like I just said. Meh. Even Hornswoggle didn't seem to care, which was true. Even he didn't seem to care. And it was just,
yeah
I was mad. I was...
All right. Well, that'll wrap up the best of and worst of in pro wrestling. Now, we do have two final categories that we want to get to, and these are local wrestling categories. You know, we've been talking WWE. We talked a bit. We had a winner from Ring of Honor, but we wanted to talk about the Pacific Northwest specifically.
Absolutely.
Because we talk a lot about that here on Smack Talk Radio Live. So we did come up with two categories, those being the 2012 Pacific Northwest Wrestler of the Year and the 2012 Pacific Northwest Most Improved Wrestler of the Year. Now, let's start with the most improved first, James. Who are you going with? We all voted unanimously. Oh, we should mention here, when we talked to the panel about these Pacific Northwest awards, we left it up to them. We said, if you're familiar with the scene, place your vote. If you're not familiar with the scene, leave it blank. For example, Brian Socha out in Philadelphia, he's not going to know who these winners are. So he didn't. So the people that are involved in the Pacific Northwest, they voted. So we still have a pretty credible panel here.
Absolutely.
But the winner for most improved Pacific Northwest Wrestler of the Year was?
Well, it was actually two wrestlers. Oh. That goes to the Bollywood Boys, which was my vote as well. And I mean,
how can you argue?
I mean, these guys probably, if you were going to ask me who has the best chance in the Pacific Northwest of going to the big leagues, right, you know, tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I would have to say the Bollywood Boys. It's got to be them.
And their stint with Ring Ka-King just put them on a global map.
And and they had. Did you watch their matches in Ring Ka-King? They were amazing.
Yeah, no, they were good.
They were WWE quality for sure.
These guys have it. I just hope someone else bigger than us sees it.
No kidding.
So 2012, most improved.
I'm telling you, Gerv and Harv, man, they're going to the top, these two.
There you go. James has said it, so it shall be done.
You heard it right here on Smack Talk Radio Live. Gervin right. Harv Sira going to the top.
How about the big one? The 2012 Pacific Northwest Wrestler of the Year.
Well, I think you and I voted for the same guy, didn't we?
I think we all did, actually. Or were there a couple differences? You
know, no, well, one person voted for themselves.
I voted, other than that, I voted the same as you.
Okay. Well, here it is. 2012 Pacific Northwest Wrestler of the Year for Smack Talk Radio Live goes to our good buddy that we've had on the show, Davis King, who is now the King of the Yukon. Previously, the Honky Tonk Kid.
Again, it's got to be him. He had such an incredible year in ECCW. I mean,
that whole angle that he had with the Honky Tonk Man, he just made it so convincing. The video vignettes that he put out on YouTube, just and the guy is such a nice guy, you know, and an amazing performer. Crisp, clean in the ring, technically sound. It's got, you know, amazing personality.
And also the NWA Canadian
or
champion.
Character, I should say.
And he's also the NWA Canadian champion.
He ended off the year right.
He is the guy transitioned from one character to the next seamlessly, and he did it so well. And just the way this guy can have the crowd in the palm of his hands is like just, no one else in the ECCW. I mean, there are others that can do it as well, but this guy just has this charisma that can't be matched.
And just like you said, a seamless transition from a heel character to a babyface. Mm-hmm. And it was bought. I mean, just 100% bought by the audience.
So congratulations to the King of the Yukon. We've had him on our show before. He's entertaining.
And trust me, we'll have him on again.
Entertaining, for sure. All right, the 2012 SRL Radio Year-End Awards. That finishes it for this year, James.
And you won't see it again for another 365 days. Well, hopefully less, because hopefully we get it out before the end of the year this year, but
will CM Punk be champion at this time next year?
Well, according to him, he will be.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we want to thank everyone that did take part in our panel.
Absolutely.
And we want to thank the fans that wrote in and gave us their opinions. A very successful year. We apologize that it took so long to get this show up and out there finally. But, you know, Christmas holidays, what can we say? Not the best time of year to be doing shows, and especially trying to get 10 others to, or 8 others, I should say, to email their responses
Hey, that's why WWE pre-tapes their Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve shows.
Maybe we should do that next year.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. We'll pre-tape Smack Talk Radio Live.
All right.
That's actually not a bad idea.
Well, thank you to everyone again. And that'll do it for another year. So let's move on to 2013. Big year in the WWE. Big year for Smack Talk Radio Live. And Monday Night Raw this week kicked it off with a huge bang. The return of The Rock going face to face with CM Punk. Let's talk about it in our Tale of the Tape.
We're on the road to the Royal Rumble.
The Rock had to hear it all. The Rock wanted to wait until you said everything you had to say. So The Rock knew exactly the kind of man he's dealing with at the Royal Rumble. And now it's become crystal clear to The Rock. You are straight up delusional. You keep mentioning that number 414. 414 days you've been WWE champion. That's incredible. Incredible. The real number. It ain't 414, Jack. The real number that haunts your dreams is 20. 20 excuses running around your mind right now. 20 hairs standing up on your straight-edge scrotum. Because you know, in 20 days, you're going to be defending that WWE Championship against The Rock. Which means, in 20 days, you know, The Rock knows, they know. In 20 days, time's up.
It's time for the Tale of the Tape.
Oh, thank God The Rock is back.
Is it any surprise that we start off Tale of the Tape with a clip from The Rock? I mean, he is your boyfriend after all.
Well, I started with CM Punk at the top of the show. I figured I'd start with The Rock to start the Tale of the Tape.
Fair enough.
The Rock, though, so good.
Nice. All right.
Oh, come on.
I thought CM Punk got the better of him in that promo battle.
He has saved wrestling for me.
No way. Well, I knew he'd save wrestling for you. I knew this was going
to
happen.
Something needed to happen because after what I saw in December, I needed something to happen to restore my love for wrestling. I mean, typically we are on the road to the Royal Rumble, which kicks off ultimately the road to WrestleMania. And Monday was a perfect start to that for me. And I really needed that because you and I were going to WrestleMania. I'm spending a ton of money for myself. And I gotta justify that. And I hadn't been able to justify it until Monday. The Rock in the ring, face to face with CM Punk. I have to say, I loved it. I had goosebumps. It's one of those markout moments that we talk about. I really enjoyed what I saw.
Really? Well, my opinion's a little bit different. I thought CM Punk did absolutely amazing. That promo that he cut before The Rock came out, it was just reminiscent of what he did in Las Vegas a year and a half ago. And
You're talking about another pipe bomb-esque type promo.
Yeah, another. I like those. He does the good work shoot promos.
Do you not find that he talked too long before The Rock came out, though?
No, I didn't. I didn't find that.
No?
Well, I can understand how some people would think that. I don't think so, though.
So the CM Punk had like a good 15 minutes to talk, basically. They just threw him out there with a microphone and said, Phil, the end of the show. Yeah. You know, like,
and he did a good
and
job.
And he did, and I give him that. I don't agree with a lot of people when they say he talked too long because it really did build him up as a heel, and it really did anticipate the arrival of, or I should say it hyped up the return of The Rock because you had CM Punk just annoying everyone in the middle of the ring for a good 10 minutes. Everyone just wants him to shut up, and finally the guy to come out and do that is The Rock. I mean, it was done perfectly.
It was very well done. An excellent promo battle, and it did its job. It convinced me to purchase the Royal Rumble.
Absolutely. How can you not want to?
Exactly.
I was watching Monday Night Raw with my girlfriend and her friend, and, you know, they don't really care about wrestling, but both of them, they had their eyes glued to the television. They couldn't have been more wrapped up into this face-to-face with The Rock and CM Punk. It brought this element of realism to professional wrestling, which is so hard to find these days.
Yeah,
the complete
exactly.
opposite of what we witnessed at the end of December with Santa Claus. Let me just say that.
They made you feel like it's going to be a fight. It's not just a wrestling match. These guys are going to have a fight, and it's about the WWE title, which is simple. It's old school. It's time proven, and it works, and that's what they did, and...
And you're saying CM Punk really held his own against The Rock?
Oh, more than held his own. I thought he came out better.
Well, let's have a listen. Here was CM Punk, his rebuttal to The Rock after The Rock had basically cut him down. Let's have a listen.
Unlike a lot of people, I'm glad you're back. I don't care what your schedule is. I don't care if you work here 16 days a year, 365 days a year. You could be Santa Claus and have his schedule. You could one day a year. I'll still kick your ass. I don't care how many movies you film every year. I know how hard that schedule probably is, but every time you come back, whenever you decide to grace us with your presence, I'm gonna kick your ass. Because this isn't Candyland. I'm like nobody you've ever faced before. You can make fun of the color of my t-shirt, and you can talk about pie, and you can sing songs, and you can rhyme, and you can do your tired, lame-ass shtick. I just want you to know that come Royal Rumble, and you have about 3 weeks to realize this, I'm gonna kick your ass because I'm the best in the world. I'm the best thing going today. I'm the best guy you've ever stepped foot in the ring with. And you need to understand, congratulations, Rock. You just graduated from the kiddie table, but you just bit off more than you can chew. You're playing Little League with your little insults and your rhymes and your millions and millions and your finallys, and I'm in the big leagues, and I'm swinging for the fence. You need to understand that your little jabs and your insults, it's all kiddie games. You can't leave a mark on the champ's face. Come Royal Rumble, understand, when you step in the ring, your arms are just too short to box with God.
What a great line by CM Punk.
Damn, The Rock just got served there. I'm sorry.
Okay. I don't know about that. At the end of the day, no one can serve The Rock, in my opinion.
Bullshit.
No, The Rock is just, he comes out, no one looks like him. No one. No one looks like him. Like,
no one can serve The Rock. Come on.
Nah.
Cena served The Rock time and time again last
year. He is officially the coolest guy in the entire world. So, for that reason alone,
go live with your boyfriend. Come on.
No, but I'm going to say this. CM Punk delivered. And I will go out on a limb here, and I will say this. I hope CM Punk versus The Rock extends to WrestleMania. I would love to see this match at WrestleMania. I think they are ruining it by having it at the Royal Rumble. I understand why they're having it at the Royal Rumble, because you have the biggest draw on another pay-per-view. So you have, you know, another opportunity to make huge income here. But I think that this match, just for caliber standards alone, is a WrestleMania-worthy match.
Oh, I totally agree with you.
I don't see The Rock actually taking the title from Punk at the Rumble. And if that is correct, and I am right, I want to see this go to WrestleMania, because I think we have two of the absolute best guys on the mic here. I've said this before, though. I said that when it was CM Punk versus Chris Jericho. And I don't think that those guys really, at the end of the day, delivered the way I thought they would. If you give The Rock and CM Punk the ball here, and you let them do their thing, and you have these writers standing on the outside looking in, I think this could deliver. And I will even go as far as say this. I think this will be better than The Rock versus John Cena.
Really?
This is something I've been waiting to see.
Lofty praise.
Well, no, because The Rock and Cena had this terrible cheesiness to their program building up to WrestleMania.
Well, The Rock did. Cena was very serious.
Not all the time, though. Cena had his moments. He wasn't constantly serious. There were some goofy moments. The Fruity Pebbles thing, you know. That part I hated about
The Rock came up with the Fruity Pebbles thing.
I know, but Cena was part of it just as much. This is a different situation here. We have a very, very serious CM Punk, and we could and we should have a very, very serious Rock. So, to me, this is like, this is it. Like, this has got to be the most intense showdown in wrestling, because they're right in what they're saying here. These are two of the best, And no, we have to see it.
I totally agree with you. It's a very simple build. CM Punk coming out and saying, I'm going to kick your ass. I'm going to kick your ass. Again, simple. Yeah. Simple, sells it, makes you want to buy the pay-per-view. They did their job,
yeah.
Right? Here's a question for you. We got, what, 2 weeks now into the Royal Rumble? Do you think we're going to see The Rock work a match before the Royal Rumble? Or do you think they're just going to save that in-ring for the pay-per-view?
Absolutely. It's got to be the pay-per-view.
I agree with you. It would totally devalue, I think, their match if The Rock somehow...
He's going to be training behind the scenes, obviously, but he's not going to be working a match on television.
Really? You don't see them doing something stupid like John Cena and The Rock take on CM Punk and Big Show in a tag match or something stupid like that?
Oh, God. Don't do that.
I could totally see them doing something like that, but...
No, I don't. No.
No?
No.
Okay.
Although, I mean, stranger things have happened. Let me ask you this. Who do you think came out looking better on Monday night?
Oh, definitely CM Punk. Really? 100% CM Punk. Absolutely.
Interesting. I'm disagreeing with that, but I've already explained why. Like, yeah, I mean, Tampa, Florida just lit up for The Rock.
Well, of course, he's a Florida boy.
Hometown, I know. Right? Strategic placement on the WWE's part, for sure. I feel like The Rock is just going to deliver here, and he's bringing a ton of money to the WWE.
Well, it's very rare The Rock doesn't deliver.
Do you think The Rock... I said no, it doesn't happen, but do you think The Rock takes the title at the Royal Rumble?
You know what? It's very funny. My brain tells me yes, but my heart tells me no.
There's two ways of looking at it, in my opinion. This whole five-month period of time that The Rock will be here heading up to WrestleMania, there's two ways of looking at it. It's going to be the chase for the title, or they're going to use this time as him being the champion.
I think it's going to be the latter because, well, that's what my brain's telling me anyways. Because why would you build this up for so long only to have him lose like that? I mean,
then again,
on the other hand, you could seriously solidify CM Punk as one of the top guys in the game by having him beat The Rock like that.
He may not lose, though, right? Like, he may eventually win it, but it wouldn't be until WrestleMania. And then the question is, okay, you're the champion, but you're taking off to go do movies again. So, you know, where's the title reign? Exactly. So, in my opinion, you got to think that he would win at the Rumble only because they want to give him time as champion. Or he never wins the title at all, right?
Well, here's an interesting factoid to you. You know, The Rock has not lost on pay-per-view since 2004.
Really? Huh, interesting. Well, how many pay-per-views have been on?
There you go.
All right, so you got to admit, though, just awesome on both ends. Where do you think they go from here?
I don't know. You know, it's weird. Do they continue feuding after Royal Rumble, kind of moving into WrestleMania?
I guess the million-dollar question is what is the lineup for WrestleMania?
Right? Exactly.
That's part of the secret. I'm very interested here. I'm very interested. It's very good. It's intense seriousness. It's, you know, the stare down that we need, that stare down. I mean, this is wrestling at its finest in my opinion. Like, this is when I love wrestling.
Simple. What you got to do? You got to get back to basics. Simple. Go back to the time-honored things that have always worked.
Fair enough.
All right.
What else do you say? Well, let's just wait and see what happens, right?
Exactly.
And let's just be entertained along the way.
Essentially, all we can do at this point is come up with our own fantasy card for WrestleMania, right?
How about The Shield continuing their reign of terror?
Oh, unbelievable. I mean, well, realistically, that was the only way you could have really had the outcome of that match on Monday, that TLC match. Was by having some sort of dirty finish. Yeah, I'm talking about the TLC match between Ryback and CM Punk for the championship. I mean, you had to have some sort of dirty finish because you don't want to take away Ryback's momentum, even though you've stricken him with another loss on his record.
This guy's just had a string of bad luck.
But you know what? His momentum is still going strong, though. He's still super over with the fans. He's still an amazingly strong character.
I hated the ending to Monday Night Raw for that match. Having the Shield come out and just end the match the way they did.
It was a good match.
We've seen it before.
The ending was. I know you don't like the muddy endings, but
yeah.
The match itself was pretty good.
No, the match itself was excellent. I thought Ryback really delivered there. You know, I thought he held his own with CM Punk, and he didn't look gassed. There was no real failed spots on his part. I thought he was really good.
The only part I kind of had a little bit of a qualm with was just how long he was, like, quote-unquote, knocked out after taking that table shot through the stairs. It was quite a long time.
But what about the Shield? Like, what do you? Where are we going with these guys now?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, these guys just raise more and more questions every week. No answers given, just more questions.
Like, why do I care?
Well,
is that not the question you're talking about?
That would be your question. My question would be like, who turned out the lights for them? Who let them in during the match? Right.
The lighting guy and security, James.
Like, so are they members of the Shield as well?
Possibly. There's rumors going around that the Shield could be completely under the influence of Randy Orton. Have you heard that?
No, really?
Yeah.
That's an interesting...
Well, so something. Give me something here. I'm sick of these guys coming out, ruining main events to matches with no repercussions. No explanations.
And what could their... Wow, it's interesting. What could their motivation be? Because they've only attacked babyfaces. They haven't attacked any heels.
There is no motivation. There's nothing. This whole thing is garbage.
Shut up. There is some sort of motivation.
Where is it going to be...
Unless this is another anonymous Raw general manager debacle, there's got to be some sort of... it just hasn't been revealed yet. You got to remember, these guys are only, 6 weeks along, right? We're only 6 weeks along with these guys.
And it's been the same thing every week. What are we doing here? Let's get on with it. You guys sat there and told me that we would see some sort of explanation at TLC. Nothing. So, come on. Give me something. Just move on from these constant run-ins. Progress the storyline before I give up caring completely. Like, just give me something. That's what I'm asking for here. Because I don't like what I'm seeing with these guys.
Well, they're hinting that they're aligned with CM Punk and Paul Heyman, but who knows? They could... Heck, maybe what they're saying is true. Maybe they're not aligned with anybody. Maybe they're just doing this out of their own, you know, sense of righting the wrongs or, you know, who knows? Who knows? But yeah, I do agree with you. We do need to start getting a little bit, you know, feed us something next week. You know, give us a little bit of a nugget. Progress it a little bit. Because, I mean, if you just keep it going the way that it's going, where they just do these run-ins and muddy finishes and stuff like that, it's just going to be like another stupid Aces and Eights thing that they're doing in TNA right now, you know?
Do they drop down to the mid-card level here soon, or are these still main event guys?
No, I don't think so. After putting them in the main event of TLC like that, I don't think you're going to see them go down to the mid-card.
Really?
I think you're going to see big things for all three of these guys in the future. I personally think Dean Ambrose is going to go the farthest out of the three of them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, still, I think the other two guys are going to be
solid
careers.
My point here, let's make a move. That's all I'm going to say. All
right.
How about Alberto Del Rio being the new World Heavyweight Champion happening on SmackDown, which technically happens Friday night tonight, but they've already announced that Alberto Del Rio has beaten the Big Show for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, what do you make of that? I mean, them spoiling it on Tout and on their website.
Well, it's an obvious draw to get you to tune in to watch SmackDown. We had the Big Show with a how-many-month reign, and, you know, out of nowhere, there's blindside happens where Del Rio's taking the title off him. You know, this is an attempt by the WWE to convince people to tune in to SmackDown.
Hmm.
You can't hide the fact that SmackDown is taped on Tuesdays and aired on Fridays. So, if something big happens, you may as well use it to your advantage, in my opinion.
Well, it's funny, too, because they always, when they're doing SmackDown, they always want to try to give the illusion that it's happening live or that it's happening right there, right?
Yeah.
So, to have them come out and spoil a result like that, it's kind of a swerve.
I think it's going to be something you see a little more of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're hiding away from the fact anymore that it is. I've heard people mention it in the ring, I think, before, or on commentary, where they actually have mentioned Tuesday as opposed to Friday, and you know that it's not a bad idea to try and garner viewers just based off the fact that they want to see a title change happen. You know what I mean?
I hear you. No, I
it's
I
like
understand.
When you announce The Rock's coming back, you use that to your advantage. You promote the upcoming show. So really, they're promoting a title change on the upcoming taped edition of SmackDown.
No, I understand what you're saying. It's kind of like when WCW announced Mick Foley's title change was going to happen, I guess.
And
it's reminiscent, I guess.
Reminiscent, but the real thing here is like you're ruining the element of surprise for your viewers. But maybe they're going with the notion that
this is something that you want to see.
And viewers are already checking results on the internet anyways.
So how about Alberto Del Rio?
I think it's a poor decision.
Goes from hitting Santa Claus and 2 weeks later he's the World Heavyweight Champion.
I think it's a poor decision.
Really? Why do you think that? You don't like Del Rio, do you?
No, I've never been a fan of him. I don't like his wrestling style. He's too by the book. He's got to do something more. He's got to impress me. Like, name the last impressive spot Alberto Del Rio did. Like, something that really, like, stands out.
Well, the most impressive spot that Del Rio does, I would say, is when the guy's sitting up on the top rope and he does that enziguri, where he jumps up onto the top rope and enziguri is the guy off the top.
I know, but I'm talking about, like, something out of the ordinary. Like, something new, something innovative. Like, yeah, I do agree.
His character's grown a little bit stale, but who knows? Maybe this babyface turn that they're trying to do with him will be like a fresh coat of paint. Maybe he becomes this, like, I don't know, wealthy guy who sympathizes with the poor common man and tries to, you know, bring up the poor common man. And to me, that resonates with me. I would enjoy a character like that.
How can you turn a guy face a week or two after he hit Santa Claus?
That's just... terrible. That's just terrible. A terrible idea. It's a stupid thing to even bring up.
You know? It's a foolish thing to even bring up on my part. But I'm just saying, like, they need to. I don't even know what they're doing with this. Like, it's very surprising that he did beat the Big Show on SmackDown for the title.
No, it's very surprising because, I mean, you just saw on Raw what Big Show knocked out Kofi Kingston in 30 seconds.
I'm wondering if there's an ulterior motive here that we're about to find out.
I'm wondering if maybe. I don't know. Do you think maybe there's a possibility there's an injury to the Big Show, or
it's possible
maybe the Big Show has to take some time off for personal reasons, so we can't, you know, so no, we have to drop the belt or something?
Or maybe the lack of Rey Mysterio and the disappointment of Sin Cara.
That's the next point I was going to bring up. Maybe it's just they want to build that next big Mexican star because, I mean, obviously Sin Cara hasn't really been panning out, and Rey Mysterio lately has been proving himself to be unreliable. So. Mm-hmm. I guess they're going to push ahead Del Rio as that next big Mexican star, because let's face it, I mean, Mexico is a big market for them.
But no chase? Just give them the title right away?
Well, maybe that's what they need to... Maybe putting the strap on him is their way of trying to really push this babyface Del Rio forward. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I don't know either. It's too early to tell. Exactly. It's a very surprising move, and I guess...
I was definitely shocked, yeah. Yeah. I'm PVRing it right now.
Nice! How about Kofi Kingston this week on Raw, just getting squashed?
You know what? I'm almost thinking they're doing that for timing purposes, just because they wanted to maybe give CM Punk more time to go out and cut his work shoot promo. So maybe that's why you saw Kofi. I mean,
it could have been anyone, but at
the end of the day, it's not going to hurt Kofi Kingston going out there and losing like that to Big Show. Mm-hmm. He's going to be in the same position tomorrow as he was yesterday after that. So
He's on that up and down roller coaster that they, and actually Kofi has mentioned it to us when we talked to him before. He, you know, wrestlers go up and down. So this is a bit of a downhill slide for him. He'll go up again.
Yep.
How about Team Hell No? Are you sick of them yet?
No, actually, I'm not too sick of Team Hell No. I know a lot of people are. I know a lot of people think it's time for them to go their separate ways.
Yeah,
I sympathize a little with what CM Punk was saying. It's kind of a cheesy role for Daniel Bryan, but I mean, he's worked himself into a little niche, and it's, I mean, I'm still entertained by them. I think them and the Road Scholars they work really well off each other. These four have chemistry. They put on good matches. I've always been a Kane fan, so I don't know. What else can I say about
it? What did you think about their little interaction on Monday Night Raw where they started chanting? What was it they started chanting?
Oh, again? Monster and Nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah, terrible. John Cena-esque terrible.
Do you need these really terrible moments to make The Rock and CM Punk look that much better? Is that the idea they go with here? Or is that just like... I don't understand.
Really? Do you think the creative team, they get together before Monday Night Raw and they go, guys... Let's come up with something real shitty so when The Rock comes out, it just shines even more.
That's what I think they do.
I honestly don't think so.
I think so. I bet you that happens. All right. Well, what about
interesting theory.
Let's move on to Antonio Cesaro. What are your wrestler, most improved wrestler of the year?
I'm a huge fan of Antonio Cesaro. And I think it looks like him and The Miz might be starting out a program here soon for the United States Championship.
All right.
The Miz needs something to do, so why not throw him against Antonio Cesaro?
It'll be interesting to see where The Miz goes. This could be a big year for The Miz.
This could be, because 2012 was definitely not a big year for him.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm starting to become sold on The Miz babyface character.
Interesting. What about the new Intercontinental Champion, Wade Barrett?
Wade Barrett? Big things in the future for this guy. But... interesting squash of Santino Morella on Monday Night Raw. It was nice to see him with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen maybe Ricky go in there and perform a maneuver or two, but...
That's not going to happen.
But
he had surgery, remember?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, remember he was... What was it? I can't remember. He had, there was some major medical issue with Steamboat early last year that he was. You're not going to see Steamboat in the ring ever again.
Oh, really? That's a shame. Cause
this could be the beginning of his son, though.
That's right.
This could be the introduction of
Richie's Richie Steamboat,
which is NXT. So,
yeah. I have a feeling Richie Steamboat. He's going to be brought up in this. He's going to be brought up to the main roster in 2013.
Let me just say this: after we just did our Tale of the Tape segment here, I don't care about anything else about wrestling other than The Rock versus CM Punk.
And you know what? Jesus Christ! I only predicted this the last 3 episodes on our show.
No, but I can't even find enough things to talk about with the other storylines. When you got this going on.
Well, it's tough because they don't really have a lot of storylines going on. I mean, look back to Monday Night Raw. It was super match heavy. They had like 8 or 9 matches.
I couldn't stand John Cena this Monday. Oh, how he started the show and he gets the crowd to do the wave and he's talking in his over-the-top cheesy voice. Get off television.
Can you ever stand John Cena?
Oh, yeah, I can. When he's lying on his back losing to The Rock at WrestleMania 28.
All right, I think we should wrap it up on this point.
But my point is Rock, CM Punk, amazing. Everything else, you got to get to work because I am not impressed.
Well, that's predictable. That's as predictable as an Undertaker match at WrestleMania. But
that's
anyways.
Right, that's right. All right, let's get out of here. This was our New Year's edition of Smack Talk Radio Live, the best and the worst of 2012, and we're talking Rock and CM Punk. And we got a whole lot more to chat about down the road here. We'll be back next week to find this show, www.smacktalkradiolive.com. Join in at facebook.com/smacktalkradio. And if you're not on Twitter already, just get on with it and add us at SRL Radio.
Don't forget, if you want to tell us how much of a tool bag my co-host here is, there's our email address, onair@smacktalkradiolive.com. You know, tell us what you thought of the CM Punk and Rock. Who you thought came out better? What do you think's in store for the future? Give us your WrestleMania fantasy bookings. Send us those emails.
What was that email address again?
onair@smacktalkradiolive.com.
And if you haven't already, subscribe to us in the iTunes store.
Absolutely.
And download this app called iCatcher. Unbelievable. We've mentioned it before. Literally, it is spelled I, the letter I, catcher. I think it's a buck. The best way to manage podcasts on your iPhone. If you don't have an iPhone, well, just get one. That's all I got to say about that.
There you go. All right.
All right. Let's get out of here. We'll be back next week. That was it. I'm Corey Callahan.
And I am James McDonald.
We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening.